This is My Favorite DJ, the podcast. Right now, I am drinking something called Golden Milk. I just had a long weekend of running up and down South Florida. I sat next to somebody that was coughing and sneezing at one point when I was having lunch. And I definitely needed a little bit of a pick-me-up and something to make sure that I could recover properly. And this Golden Milk stuff is fantastic. It's like turmeric and ginger. It's got pepper. It's got probiotics. It helps with stomach issues. It helps with the gut biome, and it's delicious. And I felt like I needed a little bit of a boost. By the way, if you're wondering where you can get some Golden Milk, the same place you can get a lot of other products to support the podcast, and that would be at my Amazon influencer store. If you go to amazon.com/shop/myfavoritedj, or look at the description of this podcast and read all the notes and all the links that you got there, there will be a link for the Amazon store, and I have more than just Golden Milk. There's a joke in there somewhere. I'm just not going to look for it. There's things from my DJ bag and SD cards that I use. The batteries that I'm using to record this podcast are also inside of my Amazon store. And they're like Energizer Lithium Supreme or something like that. Guys, I had recorded on this machine maybe, I've recorded probably like 35 podcasts on this machine, specifically some on a computer. Every podcast and a half, I'd have to swap batteries. I've recorded at least three, maybe four podcasts on this machine with this these new batteries, and I still am showing full battery meter. So these are like my go-to batteries for everything from now on. And you can find them on at the Amazon store. So that's the first plug. Brought to you today, we're brought to you by my Amazon store. Second plug is on Wednesday. I'm going to get the date in case you're listening to this some other day. On Wednesday, March 6th, on my Instagram page and on the Everyday Co., which is a clothing brand that my friends own, Instagram page, we will be launching a collaboration that we basically got together to put out to the world. I came up with a couple of ideas. They had a few ideas. We mixed them together. We made some t-shirts. And for now, I don't want to say it's a limited run, because I feel like they're going to be super popular. I had this idea where we could incorporate not just DJs, but significant others. You guys will see it. If you follow me on Instagram tomorrow, which is, well, Tuesday, I will be posting Tuesday, March 5th on my Instagram page. I'm going to put a picture up. And we're going to have a giveaway. Two t-shirts will be given away. I'm not sure exactly what it'll be yet or what you'll have to do. But if you follow me on Instagram at My Favorite DJ, you will see the post there. And if you follow Everyday Co., which is spelled a very specific way, so it's EveryDyCo on Instagram, there will be something up on there as well. There's already a little bit of a teaser that's up on their page, and I put something up on my stories. Tomorrow will be a main IG post. I don't like posting flyers and certain things on my Instagram feed. Sometimes clubs ask for it, but I'm like, can we just do it on stories? Unless it's like a team effort. There's a club in Atlantic City, which is fantastic. It's called Premier, and they did a huge rollout for their residents, and a lot of the Rich Group DJs, which is the management label that I'm on, we're also tapped to be resident DJs for 2019, so we all decided to release our flyers one Monday at the same time to kind of show solidarity and support, not just for ourselves, but for the nightclub. And that flyer actually performed pretty well. I got a lot of hair comments. Man, Aquaman really fucked me up. I've been growing my hair out for like 3 years plus. And then when Aquaman came out, people were like, oh, you're trying to be Aquaman? It's like, no, dude, I've been growing my hair out before that guy made a movie about fish or whatever it is. I haven't seen it yet. I'm not a big movie guy. Let me start off this podcast now that we've done all the plugs with a question. If a DJ in your market is making more money than you, what do you feel? I'll let you process that. If a DJ in your market is making more money than you, what do you feel? There might be several answers. Two that immediately jump to mind. I'm going to go with the one that is probably the second most likely and the least healthy, which is fuck that guy, fuck that girl. I should be making that money. Me, me. Why do they make that? I want to make that. That would be one. I mean, it's an okay answer. I mean, it's competition at the end of the day, right? It's an okay answer to have. The other answer, which I grew into this answer, it wasn't always my answer. At the beginning of my career, it was definitely that one. It was like, fuck that. Why do they get to do this? Why? Me, me, me. And I never understood that it's better to be in solidarity with DJs in your market than to be jealous or envious of what they have. So when somebody's making more money than me, even now to this day, when I hear somebody's making more money than me at a venue that I work at, I'm like, fuck yeah, that's great. Good job. Because what they're doing is they're pushing up the pay scale for every other DJ. So if somebody's making twice what you make at a venue that you're playing and you find out, don't be mad. Don't be upset. Keep that information. Keep it as ammo. Because in the future, when you go up to whoever's in charge of paying you, you can say, hey, look, I'm not sure exactly what the budget is, but I feel like there's room in my payment to move up. And you can say, look, the information got to me. I found out that there are DJs that make, you know, some DJs make twice as much as I do. Maybe I'm not worth that to you, but I definitely think I can be bumped up a little bit. And you slowly start chipping away. And that's why it's okay and it's good to have people that make more money than you around you. If you're the one that's leading the charge, that's good too. If you're the highest paid, that's a good thing. It's also good to be somebody that's not the highest paid for that reason. Because that way you can actually use it as leverage. If you're the leader of the race, you can't use it as leverage. You can't use anything as leverage. You got to go in and, you know, prove your worth as much as you can to actually get what you believe that you should be paid. This is going to be basically the second part of the Instagram podcast. I put out the bat signal a few days ago, weeks ago, probably like 2.5 weeks ago. And I asked people on Instagram to send me questions. And I already answered a lot of those questions that was on the Instagram Part 1 podcast. But this one, I'm going to answer some of the remaining questions that I thought were strong enough 2 weeks after the fact to actually get into. The first one, pause while I drink my golden milk here. There's a joke there, but I'm not going to reach for it. The first one, I'm not going to read the DJ because even though you don't have to, this is how it starts. You don't have to repeat this because I don't want to sound arrogant. And the thing is, it does sound kind of arrogant, but the fact that they said I don't want to sound arrogant, like I understand. So a DJ says, I'm one of the most booked DJs in my city. I'm also booking entertainment for several local spots, mostly because I can't do all the dates. And they ask me to do so I plug other great DJs and get paid to do so. I'm playing all of the surrounding cities. And then he mentions the cities, which is in the southeast of the country. I'm playing all the surrounding cities. All of this is great as a regional DJ, but the feeling of accomplishment is slowly fading. I'm always trying to network and branch out even further, but this next step seems to be way bigger than any I've had so far. How can you use all of these regional and hometown accomplishments to succeed even further or farther? Well, the first thing that I want to tackle here is that you feel that the accomplishment is slowly fading. So there's a lot in that sentence because it's possible that maybe you are just, you're more focused on goals than what you're actually doing in the moment. Because DJing everywhere in your city and in the surrounding cities, there are DJs that would literally give their toes to be in that position. There are guys that are listening to this that would walk through shards of glass to have that, just that, just to be able to DJ in their cities and in the surrounding cities and do what they love on a regular basis without a boss every day of their life. So the first thing that we got to tackle here is whenever that accomplishment feels like it's fading, look at your schedule. Look at what you've accomplished up to this point and realize that when you look around you, there are not many that get to have that. So even if you have a difficult time feeling the happiness or the joy or if the accomplishments tend to fade, then honor those that can't get there and will never get to your position, because there's a lot that will never get to have what you have. So honor them by honoring what you have and making the most of it and being extremely happy that you're in a position that many, many, many DJs will never get to. So that's the first part. The second part is that you're always trying to network and branch out further, but the next step seems to be way bigger than any I've had so far. So tackling that piece, you have to use that as fuel. So the fuel that you used to get everything regionally, when they, you probably heard, no, you can't, or you can't work here if you work there, or you're not a good DJ. I'm sure that you've had roadblocks along the way. The fuel that you used to push yourself past those roadblocks, the energy, the hunger, the commitment, the drive that got you to the position that you're in your regional market, is the same fuel that propels you to the next step. So the problem might be, in as looking at the picture as a whole, that you are lacking motivation. And you probably have to do some self-reflection, because it might not be professionally driven. Our personal lives definitely get baked into what we do on a regular basis, especially something like artistry, because you draw from experience and you draw from knowledge, and your life will affect your personal life, will affect your professional life, and vice versa. So you have to kind of take a step back and see exactly what it is that you're feeling, because there might be a disconnect there. There might be something going on that's like preventing you from moving forward. I don't want to say depression, but there might be something that's not clicking in one sector of your life that's bringing down other parts of it. So that's one other piece that we tackle there. So finally, you say, how can you use all of these accomplishments on the regional level and hometown level to succeed even further? Well, by repeating the process. So whenever you move up a level, everything that you did to move up that level is the same thing you have to do plus more for the next level. So everything that got you those local clubs, you had to do to get the regional clubs. So when you travel out of town, you had to do the same thing that you did locally to get those, right? So you just have to keep going. Now, for the next step, you'd have to do everything you've done up to this point continuously, continue to do it, and be consistent. The name of the game is consistency. The more people see your name, the more they hear of you, the more you're active in your markets, the more exposure you'll get. And the easier it will be to break through. It's, when I say easier, I use that term loosely because it's not easy, especially in this marketplace. As you know, if you are a listener to the podcast, which you are because you sent me a question, I think that the next couple of years are going to be rough for nightclubs, because people are not investing in nightclubs and in nightlife as much as they used to. They're investing more into bars, lounges, and restaurants, which means less new nightclubs, which means older nightclubs continue to get older, drop budget, make less money, pay us less. Chain reaction. So, and there will be unicorns in between, which are like casino clubs and like clubs inside of hotels that are amenities or seen as amenities. But freestanding nightclubs are going to be really difficult unless they're a very, very special in their markets. So getting beyond what you have might be difficult. Not impossible, but might be difficult. So maybe you need to set new challenges for yourself and then write them down. So right now, what is the one thing that you have in mind? And this can go for everyone, not just for this person that asked this question. Something that you have in mind that you want to complete inside of the next 30 days. One thing that is, inside of the realm of possibility. Like, you can't say, I want to play in every club in Las Vegas in the next 30 days. You know, something real, tangible that you think could be hard, but achievable nonetheless. And write it down and then start working towards that while you work everything else. Don't let other pieces of your professional and personal life suffer because you're working towards this one goal. Find a way to balance everything together at the same time. What this will do is it'll level you up. So not only will you be continuously working on all of your local gigs, your regional gigs, but also working towards this goal that you've given yourself 30 days to do. So your body, your brain will start to acclimate to adding new pieces of the puzzle while the old puzzle is being sorted. So once you've done that, then complete the goal. Maybe you don't complete it. Maybe you get close and you're like, you know what? I'm going to give myself an extra 10 days, an extra 5 days. Get as close as you can if you can't complete it. And then if it doesn't work, you also, I mean, this is part of life also. If something doesn't work, you need to know when to stop, take a step back, reassess, and maybe even pick a different goal and come back to it later. So after you've done the first one, then set yourself up for 3 goals in 3 months. Things that would be really hard for you to do, but that you believe are possible. And now you have 90 days to complete 3 of them. Again, while balancing everything that's currently going on. And what you're doing is you're leveling up. You're keeping your brain active. You have goals in mind. You are active in your markets. And everything is just pushing you to be more of a machine, more of a successful person. And these goals might not even be in the same realm. Maybe you set a goal three months for 3 goals. Maybe it's the first goal is find a property that you like in your city. The second goal could be get somebody to lend you the money for a down payment for this property. And then the third one could be to buy the property. And maybe that's, you know, something that you do inside of 90 days and it exercises your brain while you have everything else. And then you have another business model to work off of. Or maybe it's start a mobile DJ gig. Maybe your 3 goals would be come up with the company, buy the equipment, and do the first gig inside of 90 days, which is totally possible. These are just ideas that I'm throwing out there to try to keep your mind active. Hopefully that answers your question. And the one thing that for sure I want you to keep in mind is that you should never forget how much you wanted what you have right now when you feel like the accomplishments have faded. Because there are still people that want what you have and will never get there. And you got to honor what you got for them and for yourself. So there's that. We got a question here from DJ P Dot. What up, P Dot? How often do you add new mini sets, like 2 to 3 songs that you creatively play back to back to your set? So there's a couple of things that I do when I DJ that I used to describe it as like a setup. Like the jabs are always the same, but the combination that comes after might be different. And if you're a boxing fan, you'll get it. It's like the jabs set up everything else. So there might be, I don't want to sit here and count, but off the top of my head, there's like 3 or 4 routines, quote unquote routines, that what they will be. That I still do because I've got rid of a lot of my previous routines because they get old, they get outdated. I get bored of doing them. I just stop. But there's a few routines, 3 or 4 that I don't always play them. That might be like, let's say 3 to 4, maybe 5 songs in a string that I know always work. And I know the timing and I know the mix and I know the cadence and it's always going to sound the same, but it always works. And they're almost like signature mini sets, signature routines. So I can think of the one big one is like a money one. And see, and the cool thing is that they evolve and either add things, I add things, or I take away things over time. So the money one was Money Ain't a Thing by JD and Jay-Z into Ride With Me by Nelly, Must Be the Money, into Got Your Money by Old Dirty Bastard, into More Money, More Problems by Diddy and Notorious and Mace. And at first, that one started with the OJs, For the Love of Money. And then I dropped that because people didn't really get it. And now I stopped doing that one because Money Ain't a Thing just doesn't hit with the younger audience at all. So like I have to be playing for like a little bit of an older crowd for that to come across. I think that song came out in 2001. So it's like old school for a 21-year-old, because a 21-year-old right now is basically born in 3 years or 2 years before that song came out, like 98, right? Whatever. No, actually, am I right? Yeah, 98, because it's 2019. So I've been dropping things and I'll add things. And that's a set that I used to do a lot. And then there are other little ones where like the connectors might just be one song into another song. So I used to do Round of Applause and like loop the clap and then bring in Jay-Z. Boom, boom, boom. Tom Ford. And it would be dope because it'd be a round of applause. Then we get a hand clap or whatever the lyrics are. And then the clap, clap sample comes on. I'd loop that. And then Jay would come in and it'd be like, boom, 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 clap. You guys know the words. So those are like mini sets. But I stopped doing that. And then like, I think the last time I did it, my friend DJ Zaya was like, yo, you've been doing that for years. And I was like, fuck, you just called me out on this shit. Because it's not even like a dope one. It's not a timeless one. Cause those songs, even though they're good, they're not like timeless. Like More Money, More Problems is timeless in my opinion as a hip hop song. Those two, not so much. So getting called out on that routine is like, oh, you're doing like really old shit. I'm like, ugh. But this was a couple of maybe months or years ago, where now I'm looking for my old routines to incorporate and play them, because all that stuff is working so much better now. The wave of music has shifted so hard that it's nearly impossible to play new music for the entirety of a set, unless it's like a short West Coast set. If it's like, if you guys close at 2 a.m., it's easy to play everything new. But a lot of the venues that I work at are 3 a.m., 4 a.m., 5 a.m. So you gotta fill in with a lot of quality music that is not new. You guys know this. A lot of you guys play in markets that you know that the older songs get bigger reaction than some of the new stuff. But PDOT, to answer your question specifically, how often do I add songs into mini sets? Or how often do you add new mini sets? Whenever there's a new song that comes out, I find a creative way to bring it in. And then if I'm, and I don't, I, you know what? Let me backtrack. I don't find a creative way. I shut my mind off and just listen and let whatever comes into my head or wherever you want to call it, the soul, the center, I let the muses go. So like, I just get in the way if I start thinking about it. So I just listen and I let, and I quiet, it's like meditation. And I quiet my brain, and it sounds like I charged my moon crystals last night, but I don't do that. This is legit how my process works. I just stop thinking and I listen, and then it just comes to me. I don't even think about it. And once I do that for a new song, then I'll try to find one or two other ways to bring it in or get out of it. And then I'll try these things out in front of a crowd. And when I find the right link, the right in, the right out, the right middle piece and everything, then I keep it for a while. And then that might evolve. There might be times where I'm doing something and I'm going to go to that two or three song mini set, and all of a sudden I get a spark. And I'm like, oh, I should go into this, or I should play that. And then it evolves into something else, and it completely changes the dynamic of that mini set. So to answer your question, There are few times where old music gets put into mini sets, new mini sets, and it's very frequent that new songs get put into mini sets. I don't play the same club more than three times a month, so I like bounce around a lot and in a lot of different parts of the country, so I can cheat a little bit and play some of the same things a little bit longer than I would if I had a consistent residency at the same place all the time. And I'm very aware of that. And I'm very aware that sometimes when somebody hears me in Vegas and then they go to Atlantic City and then they go to New York, they might hear very similar lines when it comes to, let's say, a couple of the new songs. And the reason why is because it's a completely different city, completely different club. But if you're a resident and you're playing the same place over and over and over, it's not recommended that you play the same records in the same order all the time. I always used to say that there's like three ways to get fired if you work in a nightclub. Beyond the obvious ones of if you're a bad DJ, but it's like if you're irresponsible, meaning you show up late, you get too drunk, you skip gigs, things like that. Music goes out, you don't have a backup, like that would be irresponsible. If you potentially do something with another employee, meaning if you're a DJ and you hook up with somebody that you work with, and you know that kind of drama that comes with it could get you into hot water and you could get fired. And then the third way is by sounding like the same shit every week. Because the bartenders are there every week, the waitresses are there every week, the manager's there every week. Even though the crowd shifts and changes, if these coworkers of yours have to listen to the same thing all of the time, they're going to get really bored and they're going to be like, yo, this sounds the same every week. This guy sucks. And even though it works with the crowd, it doesn't work for them. And, that would probably end somebody's job at some point. So thank you for your question, PDOT. I don't go out of my way to make these. Sometimes they just come as I'm DJing. And I let it flow. When I'm actually DJing, my brain is completely quiet. Like, I am thinking about, okay, what am I going to play next? But I'm just feeling. I'm feeling more than I'm thinking. And I think that really helps. It really helps me get through difficult moments. Like, I played at a Hyde Beach on Sunday. It was their first night swim of the season. And God damn, it was slammed. And I'm playing music, and then a manager comes up, and he's like, hey, do you have Star Wars? We're going to do a big bottle thing. I'm like, yeah. He's like, okay, but does it have a house buildup? I'm like, no, but I can make it happen. He's like, for real? I'm like, yes, I can make this happen. This is what I'm here for. This is what I do. So play the Star Wars thing, play like a B-more edit of it, and then up-tempo, build up swamp into something else, and then big drop, and then the robots spray cryo everywhere. And the guy's like, oh, this is fantastic. The manager. So I didn't let my brain get in the way. I just, yes, I can do it, and then just move forward. There's doubt, there's worry, there's fear. So many different emotions could be felt when that situation or that kind of situation comes up, but you just got to keep it moving. And I just feel things. I don't know. Maybe that's what, you know, that's what music is supposed to be anyway, right? Next question, DJ Alos. What do you think about YouTube rips? If it's not to use them, what record pools have a variety of old as well as new music? Well, I've done YouTube rips before in the middle of a club when someone's like, yo, play this song. And it's like some new hip-hop shit I've never heard of. I'm like, oh, fuck. And I go to the record pools and they don't even have them, and I got to download the YouTube video. So I've done that before in a pinch, but I don't believe that you get like the best sound quality from YouTube. And also there might be like different breaks. If it's a music video, maybe there's a spoken break somewhere in there. and you're playing that in the club, or maybe it's some other DJ uploaded it and they're yelling their DJ name across, or somebody from a blog put up the video and, you know, halfway across they put up an ad or something. It's like, you know, you don't know exactly what you're getting if you download a YouTube video on the fly. Now, if you download it at home and it's the only place you can find it, well, I would say that there are a lot more places you can find music. Number one, for like old things, because they're not prevalent on record pools, the first place that I would check is DMS, so Direct Music Service. That is where the majority, if not all, of the old songs that you might be looking for are going to be. And not just like one version, but multiple versions with intros and outros and bootlegs and mashups. And if it was a popular, like, older song, it's going to be on there for sure. Now, if for some reason it's not, or you don't find exactly what you're looking for, sometimes the one thing that DMS doesn't do is put up the original version of it. There will always be a DJ edited version. So if you're looking for the original song, go to Amazon. Go to Amazon. First of all, amazon.com/shop/myfavoriteDJ. Look at the shop. See if you like anything. And if you don't, that's cool. Just type on the search bar what song you're looking for. Let's say you're looking for Stevie Wonder, Isn't She Lovely? Or you're looking for, I was just going to say a song that for sure was going to be on DMS. But, I don't know, let's say Led Zeppelin, Kashmir, and you want the original. So you go to Amazon and you type in Led Zeppelin, Kashmir, and MP3 or Led Zeppelin Kashmir, and it'll get you there. And I think every song that you might want to buy on Amazon is like $1.50 and under. So if you're in a pinch and you don't know where you can get an older song, just go to Amazon. That's what I do. I spent the other day, what was it that I downloaded? Oh, I was at 11 and Maluma was there. It was a Spanish reggaeton artist, and Maluma wanted to hear one of the songs off of his album, and I didn't have it, that one specifically, but I have a lot of other Maluma songs because he's a very popular artist, so no disrespect at all. I just didn't have this specific one that he wanted to listen to. And I looked at the record pools that I subscribe to and that I have accounts at, and I couldn't find it. So I went on Amazon, and it was on Amazon. I downloaded it, and I played it, and that was it. That was that. Luckily, I had Wi-Fi, and I had enough time to get everything done. So I don't think YouTube rips are necessary for that reason. There might be DJ mixes or DJ remixes rather that are on YouTube that are nowhere else. But I've found a lot of what I'm looking for on Amazon. So DMS, Direct Music Service, Amazon would be my two go-to places for things that are not on all the other record pools. Because guys, let's face it, all the record pools have every new song at the same time. The only variety between record pools are the editors and like the stuff that they put together. All right, next question from DJ Rincon, or Rincon, depending what language you want to say it in. Are there any unwritten code, or is there any unwritten code of ethics or rules DJ should follow with each other? If so, explain in detail what you think they should be. So this is a very interesting one. So, code of ethics or rules. The first one that pops up in my head is if somebody gives you a contact. So, okay, let me take two steps back so I can start in a different place. If somebody says to me, hey, can you give me DJ Obscene's phone number. I'm not going to give that person DJ Obscene's phone number because that person doesn't have Obscene's phone number, and that might be for a reason, and I don't know why that person doesn't have Obscene's phone number, but I know that they want it because they've asked for it. So what I'm going to do instead of giving that person Obscene's phone number and say, hey, Obscene, I'm going to message Obscene and say, hey, this guy is asking me for your, or this girl is asking me for your phone number, and I'll give them a detail, I'll give him details on what the situation is and why they need his phone number. And then I'll say, is it okay for me to send your phone number? And based upon Obscene's answer will be what action I take. So there's been situations in the past where I get a text message out of nowhere from somebody and they're like, hey, you know, what's up with this? Or let's talk about that. And I'm like, whoa, how did you get my number? Like, that's what I want to say. But most of the times it's like not a huge deal. So I just roll with it. But I feel like there's a code of ethics when it comes to giving out people's contact, because some people might not want to talk to the person that's asking for their number, or there might be some history, some negative history. You don't know what the situation is. So the first thing that I would say is, whenever you're going to involve yourself as an intermediary for someone that needs a telephone number or a contact, check with the person whose contact they're giving to make sure that they're cool with the whole situation going down. You know, there's things that go on in the DJ world, like everywhere else, every other job, and just in life in general, that are unavoidable. So it's tough to think about a code of ethics that would apply to DJs specifically. I think the code of ethics applies at the human level. So it's like, you know, you're human first, and then you might be a brother, a son, a dad, you might be a sister or an aunt, you might be a DJ or a painter or a police officer. Like, the first thing will always be human. So I think the code of ethics applies to that level, not so much what you do, which might be 4, 5, 6, 7 levels beneath that. So that being said, I don't think that the code of ethics would apply to DJs. I think it applies to humans. And that's a whole different segment. That's a whole different podcast. You know, it depends on so much, your upbringing, your belief system. Maybe the golden rule is that one thing that would help in this situation. Treat others like you would want to be treated, and do unto others what you would want to be done unto you, something like that. Yeah, probably that's a pretty good place to start when it comes to ethics on a human level. The contact one is the first one that I can think of. I guess I could try to be funny and say, don't play Get Your Hands Up Records if you're an opener as a code of ethics, but we've already gone through a lot of that. So I don't know. I don't know where else I could expand. Be nice, you know, be nice to people. Even if you don't like them. Maybe if you don't like somebody, let them know why you don't like them and give them an opportunity to try to make it better. Or give them an opportunity to say, thank you for letting me know why you don't like me. I don't care enough to change. But now that I know how you feel, I'll do my best to stay away from you. Or something like that, right? I don't know. Opinions on DJs creating mixes on DAWs, i.e. Ableton, versus live mixing. Pros and cons, and is there an industry standard? Okay, so let's start from the back end. There's definitely no industry standard, and creating mixes on Ableton or Logic is quite normal. I've done a lot of mixes on Ableton, and I do a lot of mixes live. I'm actually going to film how I do my mixes and put it up and show you guys, because that question comes up a lot. So I'm going to do that this month for sure. And I'll show you guys exactly what the process is for multi-track recording and things like that. And I'm going to put it up and show it to everybody. But in regards to making mixes on Ableton, I think it's fine. The problem obviously runs in, you're going to be thinking, most likely, well, if you turn in a mix that you did in Ableton and then they book you, you're basically lying to the booker and saying that you are something that you're not. And you're right. But those things might happen one time, and then they hear you play live and they're like, oh, you sound like shit. Why did you send a good mix? So don't worry so much about that. If people lie through their mixes, eventually they will get weeded out and they won't have a job. I think live mixing is probably the way to go now, because we've pushed the level so high on the make a mix on the multi-track platforms like Ableton Live and Logic, that now what's going to be cool is actually like live mixing, like sounding exactly what you're going to sound like, and maybe having a little slip here or there, a little bit of maybe an off time or an off beat, something like that, that's in the mix, that's like a real fuck up in a music inside of a music, what's the word I'm looking for? Inside of an organization of music put together by a DJ. Music is not perfect, and you hear any songs, speaking of older songs, you hear songs from the 60s, 70s, and some of the 80s before everything was synthesized. They're not perfectly in time, and they're not quantized, because music has a swing to it, and that's beautiful. I can tell when I'm listening to a mix that was done on a controller, because it's so linear and monotone in its speed that I know it's snapped to a grid. And the same happens when I hear a mix that's been created on Ableton, and I don't feel it as much because I know what I'm listening to, and it takes me out of it because I don't hear the music swing. I don't feel it swing. So I'm like, oh, this is so synthetic. It's almost robotic. So I'm not a big fan of it. I think live mixing is the way to go from now on. But every now and then, if somebody wants to put together a showcase or a feature mix for a big platform, making it on Ableton is cool. Now, I've seen people DJ using like long mixes, like DJs in Vegas that'll play their intro, and then it's got like a 15-minute mix after their intro, and then they play their first song, they mix out after 15 minutes. I've seen that done, and I'm not a big fan of it because I feel like, personally, it's a waste of fucking everything. Like, why are you even DJing if the first 15 minutes are pre-recorded, right? Like, I could understand a pre-recorded mix, one song after the intro. I could totally understand that. Let's say that you have a big intro and then confetti is going off and you have confetti everywhere. And to save yourself the problem of dealing with having to mix out of your intro goes into the first song. And then that gives you, let's say, 3 minutes, 2 minutes, whatever amount of time to get to the next one. That's completely understandable. If it goes into another song and another song and you don't play your first song until 15 minutes after, you're not doing it right. In my opinion, I feel like you should be going off of what's in front of you and you should be playing something different. You shouldn't have a 15-minute pre-made mix to start off the night. It eats up so much of your set. Like, you're being paid handsomely in many places and in many times to play music, and you're going to waste 15 minutes of it with a pre-recorded one, like a pre-recorded mix. It seems like such a waste. Like, if you're going to do that, let somebody else DJ that's going to actually play music. That's what I think. Maybe you guys agree, maybe you disagree. 15 minutes, I think, is too long. Again, one song after an intro, maybe two to get your bearings and figure shit out, I could understand. But any more than that, and anyone can do what you're doing then. You're just standing in place and hitting a button. And you literally have become the one thing that everyone was making fun of for so long, which is a button pusher. Because you press one button and then you just dance around and yell at people on a microphone for 15 minutes. You're a button pusher at that point. That's not cool. So in regards to playing mixes while DJing, that's what I feel about it. There might be some situations where that might be a necessity. Like, I remember the excuse that one of the guys from Swedish House Mafia said was that his music was synced to pyro, fireworks. And so he was playing a set at a major festival, and it was like 30 minutes, 45 minutes, but it was a pre-recorded set because there was lights programmed to it and pyro and all these other things. And I could understand that. A lot of times when there's major production behind the music and there's thousands of people, hundreds of thousands of people out of place, sometimes it's just what has to happen. You have to play a pre-recorded mix. You are a button pusher in that scenario, but it's because it's for the greater good. Because you want your show to look the best. People paid probably a lot of money for that ticket, and for the production to all come together, you have to do it that way. Now, there might be some people that disagree with that. It's like, they might think it's never okay to play a pre-recorded set no matter what. And I'm cool with that too. I don't fault you for that. And there might be people that think, hey, it's 100% okay to play 20 minutes at a time. That's fine. Go for it. That's just my opinion. My opinion is, if you're going to play a pre-recorded mix and you're not under that certain circumstance where there's a major production behind you, then you're just a button pusher and you probably should stop and let somebody else DJ. Like, you just be a hype man then. You want to dance and yell on the mic, then just, you know, stand off to the left and let me play some records. Or somebody else. Let somebody else play some records. Oh, I already answered that part. Okay. So, next question from DJ Easy3. Around how much should a DJ who has a following and can blend songs together charge for a bar/lounge type of gig? I can't answer that, man. It depends on your location. If they bring their own speakers, should they charge more? Yes. If you're bringing equipment, anytime that you have to do more, you should charge more. Is it better to negotiate a deal with a certain percentage from the bar and door? If a club owner will give you a percentage, always take the percentage. Because there will be nights where that bar crushes and makes a lot of money. So, okay, think about it like this. If you get paid the same amount, no matter how the club does, that's fantastic. That's a really good deal. DJs have it really good. Because I walk into a club and I'm getting paid whether there are 10 people or 10,000. So I know I'm getting my paycheck because there's already a pre-established agreement in place. So you can look at it from two different ways. You can look at it that way, which is no matter how the club does, whether it's a slow night or a super packed night, I'm always going to get paid. You eliminate the risk in that scenario where if there are many, many slow nights in a row, you still get paid. If you had a percentage of the bar or the door and they actually agree to giving you this, and they have a really long set of bad days put together, you're going to get paid very little because your percentage will obviously reflect what the club is doing. And if they do very little, you're going to get paid very little. So you take on a lot of risk. Now, the upside to that is when the club does great, and if the club does well on a consistent basis, you will continuously make good money and even more money when there are big weekends and people spend a lot of loot. Two different things, two different schools of thought. Not two schools of thought, but rather two different options. Which one's for you? I don't know, because I don't know what market you're in. I don't know a lot of the things that would have to go into that kind of thing, into that kind of decision making process for you. So hopefully that just gives you a little bit of insight, but I can't answer that question properly. There was a question asked, what was the last song you closed out a night with? When did I play? Oh, this was on Sunday. I played like a house song. That was the last song that I played. And then DJ Live It Up got on and continued to crush that pool party. I don't remember the specific house song. I know what your question is, like what song. And I have one song that I always like to play, but I'm not going to reveal that one because I want to keep it to myself as much as I can. Not sure if you've discussed recording mixes, but can you talk about what you use to record your mixes, and do you use auto gain or manually set your tracks? So yeah, I use Ableton to record my mixes, and sometimes I will record the mixes directly into Serato. And in Serato, I do have the auto gain turned on. And sometimes if I have a really long mix with a lot of different tracks on Ableton, again, I'm going to videotape this and put it out there this month, I will tweak the levels individually. Sometimes not even by track, sometimes by actual recording, like every clip. All right, is that the end of the questions? That might be it for all the questions. I do have other pieces here that, wait, what are these? Oh, no, that's not it. I do have other pieces here that I want to go over, and that would be, I got to go back to the photos. Sorry, how professional of me. Scrolling. All right, so Unum Graham hit me up today, and I don't know if that's the right handle. Unum Graham, or how you pronounce it. Yeah. Unum. I'm going to guess it's Unum. Hopefully I'm saying it right. Sorry if I'm not. But we spoke about the 64-bit. So right now the operating system, the newest operating system is Mojave for Apple. If you're a PC guy, this doesn't matter to you. Or maybe, you know, maybe it does. So the newest operating system for Apple is Mojave. After this operating system, Apple will no longer support 32-bit applications. And we spoke about this today. And Unam told me, is it Unam? 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 Anyway, he told me that he made a really good point and something that I had not considered before. So Scratch Live is a 32-bit program, but Serato DJ is also a 32-bit program. So if you're on a new computer when the new operating system comes out ahead of Mojave, so whatever the next one is, if you buy that computer, you will only be able to use Serato DJ Pro. You will no longer be able to use Serato DJ or Scratch Live because those two are 32-bit programs. The only one that's 64-bit is Serato DJ Pro. So after the next operating system, drill this in your brain, you will only be able to use Serato DJ Pro on Apple computers. Hopefully there's some sort of a bypass. Maybe somebody can figure out how to run 32-bit programs through some other way. People that are way smarter than I can figure out a way to do it. But what we know is that Apple will not support 32-bit programs. Scratch Live and Serato DJ are 32-bit. Serato DJ Pro is 64-bit, and that will be able to be used on the operating systems after Mojave. The other thing that Unam brought up was that there's a lot of issues, known issues, with computers that are 2018-ish and forward with the USB. Not just for Serato, but for also for Ableton and a lot of music softwares. Apparently, there's a really big problem with the USB ports and older USB interfaces, whether it be a Serato box or an interface that goes into like a studio hardware interface for controlling speakers or, you know, putting everything together. whether it be an Apogee or like a Fire, a MIDI box, things like that. I'm not super well versed in that technical sector, but apparently there are problems with using the USB on the new computer or the ports on the new computer to older USB models. Things are not working well, and it's like a known problem. And he sent me a screenshot that there was audio overloads through the audio engine. So if this means something to you, that's what's happening. And it hasn't happened to everyone, but it's like a known issue with the new computers. So, and I think this is like part of the growing pains with new technology. Whenever like new shit comes out, it happens every so often. Whenever new shit comes out, it like has a difficult time working with all the old shit. So everything's got to update and move forward before we can have everything working on a level playing field. But you guys know how I feel about all this shit. I use Scratch Live, and that's what I will continue to use. So I can now update my computer to one of the newer ones, even though I feel like the 2015 Retinas are still like the best machines that Apple has ever created. Because the new ones, the Touch Bar ones, they don't do it for me. I don't know. I don't know how you guys feel about it, but I know a lot of DJs are on the older machines. And I think that they have a 13-inch that's non-Touch Bar that is like part of the new sets of machines. But if you want a 15-inch, it has to come with a Touch Bar. Unless you get a Retina from 2015. So I think those machines are the best. And I know a lot of DJs that use computers from 2012, 2013, 2014, 2015, that they have these retinas that are older, or these MacBooks that are older, and they are running Scratch Live or Serato DJ or Serato DJ Pro on them, and it seems to work just fine. So there's no need to update all of the technology right now, because these 2015 machines are only 3.5, 4 years old at this point. I have a 2014 MacBook, and it's still ticking. It's still rolling. The battery says replace soon, but I don't want to take it in to get the battery replaced, because I think they have to like ship it off. And I know that there's a website online that has batteries for sale, and then they have like video tutorials on how to do it yourself. I know Joe Maz did it. So you can replace batteries on older machines if you really wanted to. The new ones, just I'm not sold. I can get an old MacBook that somebody took very good care of for $1,200, $1,300, $1,400 instead of spending $3,500 on a brand new, decked out, crazy spaceship MacBook where the Serato DJ waveforms are still going to lag when I type in, looking for a song. Or Serato DJ Pro, like the waveforms will still lag when I type something in. I've only seen like one or two machines, MacBook machines, the new ones, running Serato DJ or Serato DJ Pro, that when the DJ was typing in for songs, the waves didn't lag. And this is something you could test on your own. When you're playing music at the club or at home or whatever you're doing, when you're playing, let's play two songs at a time and watch the waves, and then hit Apple F for the finder and then search for a song. Like just put in the word Kanye or Jay, or put in the word, I don't know. I was going to say Macklemore and try to find a joke, but that guy's an independent artist and he made more money than fucking bank. So who's laughing, right? And he was a good artist too. So no disrespect. I was just trying to find something funny, and Macklemore's the first one. What happened to Macklemore, man? He had like such good music. And I think he put out like two songs after that just didn't go over well with radio, and they said, all right, fuck it. The spark is gone. Maybe. I don't know. But again, no disrespect to any artists out there, especially independent ones that are making their own goddamn. You know what happened to Macklemore? I just figured it out. He's still fucking counting money from the singles that he put out like 5 years ago. He's like the trucks are still backing up cash into his house since he's a single. I'm sorry, since he was an independent artist. He's still counting $100 bills. That's what happened to Macklemore. But anyway, fuck, I go off on tangents, huh? Jesus. Play two songs on Serato DJ or Serato DJ Pro. Hit Apple F and type in a word. Look for another song and watch those waveforms stutter and lag. I cannot stand that shit. I can't stand it. I feel like I have to type in slower when that happens, and it slows me down. And that's one of the reasons why I don't use Serato DJ or Serato DJ Pro, because I like when everything's tight and neat. And there's a joke there, but I'm not going to reach for it. That's why I use Scratch Live, and I will continue to do so until it is no longer a possibility for me to do so. But considering everything that we know already, I will be able to use it for as long as I want. All right, guys, I think that's the podcast. Thank you guys for listening. Be sure to check out my Amazon influencer page. If you're going to buy something on Amazon, go through the page. Look at the products that I have there, what's in my DJ bag, the kind of hard drive that I back up my computer to. What hard drive do I trust enough to back up my computer to? That's in my Amazon store. What kind of vitamins do I take? That's there too. What kind of socks do I travel with? The socks that I travel with are in my Amazon store, and they're like fantastic. They're a little expensive, but I've had them for years. You ever see me wearing long socks? That's what I'm wearing. And that's there in my Amazon store. The link will be in the podcast description. Tomorrow I'm going to put up another teaser for the collaboration between Everyday Co. and myself. And then Wednesday the t-shirts will drop. And I think I don't want to say how many we ordered, but hopefully we ordered enough for everybody that would want one. But you're definitely going to want to place those orders quickly, because there are not unlimited quantities. We did a run. We picked up a significant amount of t-shirts. but we don't have infinity size. This is not drop shipping. These are like, we have the t-shirts. We have them physically in our possession. They've been printed. So when a size runs out, that's going to be it. The size will run out. And if we decide to print more, then that'll be what we do. But these t-shirts are not just going to be for DJs. They will be for DJs and something else. And the reveal will come on Wednesday. Thank you guys for listening. I appreciate all the questions that got sent in. Hopefully this podcast is of value to you and you take something from it and you can pass it on to another DJ or someone else that might take value from it. If you want to leave a 5-star rating on iTunes, that helps me. I believe we might already be the number one DJ podcast on iTunes, but every 5-star rating helps out the podcast. Every time you go to the Amazon store and buy a shirt or a pair of vinyl or needles or headphones or cables, it helps the podcast out. And when this Everyday Co collab drops and you buy a t-shirt, you're going to be helping out the podcast as well. And you're going to be the sickest DJ in your town wearing a shirt. And then the other thing that I don't want to reveal just yet, the person next to you will be wearing it and it'll be like, oh shit. Oh, and it'll all make sense. And then you'll understand the vision for the collaboration. Thank you guys for listening, and I'll catch you actually Friday. Friday, I'm going to release another mix. I have to decide which one, but I'm going to release another feature mix on Friday. Thank you guys for listening.